Turn to page 532. Our Old Testament reading is Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him.
Our lifespan is being 70, or if we're strong, 80 years. I discovered that all the 80-plus people out there said to me, well, we're really past our used-by date. Well, let me say, for our times in the 21st century, Moses probably would have written 80, or if perhaps by your strength, 90. And every day you have is not an accident past 80. It's a precious gift of God, every day that you have. So you need to use them wisely. And the point is still the same. You still don't have a lot of time left to do all those things, say all those things, and make all those decisions. Second thing I wanted to say is I referred to my beautiful sisters as the hobbling grasshoppers. Well, I want you to know, those of you who were here, I visited them last Sunday afternoon. Fessed up that I'd mentioned them. But they are actually walking a lot better. And they were keen to prove it to me. So they're walking fine. And I thought I'd share that with you in case you've been worrying about them. Now to today's topic. Are you ready? Are you ready for what? Are you ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you even believe in it? Surprisingly enough, there are now a number of Christians who actually don't believe in the literal return of Christ, which is a bit odd, really, I find, because it's mentioned 318 times in the New Testament. That is, about once in every 25 verses, it talks about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, one, do you believe that it will happen? And number two, are you ready for it to happen? Because as we used to say when we played hide and seek as a child, he's coming whether you're ready or not. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, the Bible addresses this topic to answer some questions that the good Christians of Thessalonica had about the whole matter, and I want to turn to that passage now. What happens, or what has happened to the Christians who die before Christ comes back? Well, back in their day, there may not have been many, but now in our day, there are millions of them. This was a real worry for them. They certainly lived in the expectation of Christ's return, but wondered what had happened to their members and loved ones who'd already died. Would they miss out on the triumph of his return? Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever wondered what has happened to the people that you know who have died in faith and where they might be? Well, the apostle tries to answer that question. This is what he says. Such people, he writes, have not died in a permanent sense. They've fallen asleep. This was a metaphor used in the Bible to describe people who are no longer with us, but have not ceased to exist. Because sleep, in that sense, using the metaphor, is just a temporary thing. You sleep and you wake up. These people are asleep. So he said, when you grieve for them, do not grieve as if they have gone forever. Don't grieve as people without hope. You have hope in Christ. They're not dead. They're asleep. They're not dead. They're with the Lord. The non-Christian world didn't have much hope of life after death. They sort of believed in some kind of vague, gloomy despair. But by contrast, we are not like that. We hold a confident hope of eternal life in Christ and of a joyful reunion with our loved ones. And death holds no sting for the Christian. Some have theorized that what really happens when people die is that they go into a kind of what our Seventh-day Adventist friends call soul sleep, waiting for the day of Christ's return. That's a pretty miserable kind of prospect, don't you think, to go into soul sleep? And that's certainly not what the Apostle Paul thought. He says in 2 Corinthians 5, as we've just heard in that song, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What happens when you die? You go to be with the Lord. And in Philippians 1, he shares his dilemma with the Philippian Christians that he can't really work out what he'd rather do. He likes being with them, but he really likes the prospect of going to be with Jesus. So he says, I don't know what I want to do, really. For to live is Christ, and to die is gain, and go and be with my Lord. Those who've died, writes the apostle, will come with Christ when he comes again. They'll be part of what happens when he comes. They will come with him. They'll be part of the great day. What was worrying the Thessalonians as much as anything is that these people were going to miss out on the return of Christ. Don't worry, says the apostle. They'll be there with you. Christ is going to bring them with him. That's comforting news. I hope, if that's a question that you've been pondering, that it will comfort you. What will the return of Christ be like? He answers that question as well. It's mentioned in a number of places in the Bible, but here in 1 Thessalonians we're given these following facts. The Lord himself will come. He won't just send out messengers. He will come. There will be a loud command. There will be the voice of the archangel, and then the trumpet of God. Friends, this literally will be the royal visit to end all royal visits, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords returns to claim his own. He will bring with them those who've fallen asleep, as I've just said, those who've already died in him. They will rise first, then those who are alive at the time that he returns will be caught up with them together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we will be with the Lord forever. I was trying to picture that scene yesterday when I was typing this up, and I got quite excited. I could almost hear the hallelujah chorus happening as Christ was coming back, and a bunch of people trying to sing King of Kings and Lord of Lords, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, forever and ever and ever, forever and ever and ever. The return of Christ will be something that is spectacular. I want to know whether you'll be part of it. We used to sing, and we probably still sing occasionally, things like about that thing we call the rapture. Rapture just means to be snatched up. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus his Son. But purer and higher, greater our rapture will be when Jesus we see, when you see Christ. Are you looking forward to that? Would it matter to you if it happened today that Christ returned? That's how excited the Christians of Paul's day were. They were longing for it to happen. And as I sat there typing yesterday, I'm thinking, yes, it will be great if it happened before I got to preach this sermon. Billy Graham used to always think of a Saturday night when he was preparing, Lord, may I not even get to give this because you've come back. Now that's the kind of feeling I had yesterday when the trumpet of the Lord sounds and time shall be no more, as we'll sing later on. The third question he addresses is this. Excuse me. When will it all happen? When will Christ return? Many have speculated. Some have had the temerity to name dates, which in the light of what the Bible says seems to me to be pretty stupid. Because the Bible's consistent message is this: Christ's return will be unexpected. It will be as unexpected as the visit of a thief in the night. Like you, I get a lot of junk mail advertising what's happening. I get the occasional thing from the electricity people saying there's going to be blackouts in your street this week. The occasional thing from a real estate agent saying we'll be visiting in your street if you want a valuation. I've never, ever had a burglar put a thing in my junk mail saying, tonight we will be doing over your street. Be ready. That's the whole point of being a thief, isn't it? You don't actually tell people because it's a sudden, unexpected thing. So you're told to keep your house locked all the time and be ready. They rely on their visit being unexpected, but we've been warned to always be ready for the return of Christ, for it will come when we perhaps least expect it. You will have planned your day if it happens in our lifetime. You will have planned what you're going to do. You will have your plans, but they won't mean a thing when you hear that trumpet sound. The return of Christ will come suddenly, he writes, like the labour pains of a pregnant woman. I'm aware of how sudden these can be, and I've been most recently reminded because our daughter was staying with us prior to the birth of her two girls, because we live not far from Westmead Hospital. Both were born in the wee small hours of the morning, and we went through that rigmarole that happens. You think it could be, and then suddenly, boom, into action we go. The suitcase is taken, the husband gets the car. Danielle, are you coming? All that routine that happens. They leave me at home just to wonder what is happening. They don't think I'm going to be much help in the birthing room. But these contractions weren't unexpected, and the bags were packed. So the important thing here, friends, to remember from this, are your bags packed? Are they ready? If Christ did come back today before we finished morning tea, would you be ready? Will you be there? Are you ready? For the message is not very good for those who are not in Christ. Those who the Bible describes here as having a false sense of peace and security and safety. Destruction will come just as suddenly. That destruction will come on those who've been thinking to themselves, I'm all right, everything's okay, I don't need God, life's going along okay. Destruction will come just as suddenly as the return of Christ. But Christ offers an eternity with him, and that's why he reminds them in this passage, he died and rose for you. Have you accepted him as your saviour? We sang first of all, Have you any room for him? Have you accepted? He graciously keeps knocking. But there will come a time when the knocking will cease. Will you have answered his call so that this day will not be a surprise for you? So what should we do? The fourth question is this. What should we do while we wait for him to come? That's the position we're in now. What should we be doing? And the short answer is, we should be about our Heavenly Father's business. We're told to be alert, to be ready for it, to be on the lookout for it. And I think after 2,000 years or so of Christianity, we might sort of think, oh, it hasn't come yet. Maybe it won't come. Maybe it's not really. And you can get very slack. But the Bible says to us, be alert. Don't grow complacent. Also, be self-controlled and live as children who are children of the light, children of the day, not children of the night and darkness. Encouraging one another and building one another up. For we have not been appointed to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation. What he's really saying to the Thessalonians is this: go about living for the Lord Jesus day by day, keep alert, ready for the day, and also encourage and build one another up. That's the beauty of the Christian congregation. That's the beauty of belonging to a group of believers. One of the reasons we gather Sunday by Sunday is to build one another up and encourage one another as we see the day drawing near, to quote the writer to the Hebrews. That's what we're here for. You building me up, me building you up, you encouraging me encouraging you, so that we work together until Christ comes again as we await his return, protected by the armour of faith, hope and love. We've got that to help us as we put on our faith. We love one another, and we have the helmet of our hope in Christ. That's our sort of crowning thing to protect us, that hope which we must never, ever get rid of. So let me quickly sum this all up. What happens about Christians who die before Christ comes back? They are with him now and will be with us on the day he comes to wrap up this present world. Don't grieve without hope for them, for they are in a very good place. You would not want them in any other place than being around the throne of Christ. What will his return be like? It will be spectacular. As we meet him in the air and go to be with him forever and ever. When will it happen? Unexpectedly and suddenly. Be prepared. I urge you, if there's anyone here this morning who hasn't got it sorted, please talk to us. Let us help you to get it sorted so that Christ is your Saviour. He died and rose for you. All you've got to do is accept him. He's not leaving you here so you can rack up more good deeds, because that's not going to cut it. He wants you just to accept his offer of grace and accept him as your Saviour. But you don't have forever. How should you live while you are waiting? On alert, on patrol, self-controlled. Living to encourage and build one another up in the Lord. That's the business we've got to be about. Let me encourage you with those words and let me pray. Father, thank you for these answers that are given in the Bible to some of the questions we have about the end times, questions about our loved ones who've gone. Father, comfort us with these words, we pray. Strengthen us for the time. Help us to use aright the time that we have left on this earth, to use it wisely in your service. And Father, we pray that you would bless us each this day as we ponder these words. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.